Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. I am joined today by newly minted co-host, Jordan Heimer. Jordan, that was a very fun opening night. We already discussed a little bit before we started the show, because doing the show before the show is kind of our thing. But I just want to, one point that we were just talking about, does it seem like the Clippers are like strangely more likable than they've been in the past few years?
That was easily the most fun I've had watching a Clippers regular season game in a couple years.
Agreed.
And as we were talking about before the show, I think there are actually a matrix of reasons coming together to make that true. So a few things are different. One is that at the beginning of last year, there was a real sense the team was still fighting off a hangover from that Rockets collapse. And there was that feeling you got where the narrative was so strongly, can the Clippers ever get to the conference finals, that there was that feeling a little bit like, oh, the regular season is this 82-game slog that we have to get to just to see if we can do the thing we need to do in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, the Washington Capitals are like that. There's like a handful of franchises where that's the narrative every year. So that's no fun. I think there's the urgency of the fact that last year was kind of like a missed opportunity. Everyone got injured. They didn't even get to try last year. And now you appreciate what you've lost. And you've got 1 year to prove that this team can be a championship contender, because who knows what's going to happen this summer with the big, three of the big four all being free agents. And I think last, I was really struck by something Chris Paul said to David Aldridge right after the game ended. I've never heard Chris just embrace the fact that this is not a likable team before, at least not this openly that I can remember. You know, he said to Aldridge, people around the league don't like us. We talk about it all the time, and we're fine with that. We embrace that. And he asked, well, was it a particularly big rivalry against the Blazers? And Chris said, no, every night is like that. People don't like us.
I love it.
And I love it. And I feel like the fact that they can own it actually allows them to own it with a little bit more composure, where they're not outraged by every call, where they don't feel like it's personally happening to them and they're living three possessions in the past. This is who we are. We're on the road. People don't like us. Play on.
I love it. I love the mentality. I've been kind of waiting for this full heel turn for a while, where the Clippers are just totally unapologetic about being assholes and fouling people hard and playing dirty and just being the bad guy. Like, I just love that there's no identity crisis anymore. It's like, when I was watching this, I was like, holy crap, it was like watching a movie with like a villain that was, it was incredible. I mean, I was, like you said, I was more engaged in this game than I have been in a regular season game in years. And continue.
I was going to say, ironically, embracing the villain makes them more likable.
Yes.
Because it was always the hint of kind of whininess that was so unlikable about the Clippers. You know, like, a heel is not whiny. A heel is a heel. And I think what people didn't like about the Clippers was, look, you guys are clearly heels, but you also want to play outraged victims on the other side of the coin.
Right.
Choose one or the other.
Right.
And I felt like there was a real lack of outrage, lack of composure, victimhood tonight that really served them well. And we've seen the meltdown in similar situations in Portland two or three times the last year.
Yep.
We've seen that flip the other way.
As much as you can send a message in a regular season game throughout an 82-game season, I felt like this was a message sent. This was hey, we're healthy, we're all back together, we are just going to physically impose ourselves. That first half, I mean, how many just crazy crashes to the offensive boards did Blake Griffin have? And DeAndre Jordan just clearing out space under there. I mean, they looked like a team, and Chris Paul, too. They looked like a team that just totally wanted to impose their will physically more than anything else in the first half. Did you see that, too?
Blake looked great. You know, I was watching the game with our mutual friend Kevin Arnovitz, and we were talking about how neither one of us, as a general rule, is a huge fan of offenses that kind of obsess on finding the mismatch. You know, going out of your usual offense to find the guy who's got the smaller or slower defender and just going to that time after time. But the exception is when you have a guy like Blake Griffin. And, you know, Aminu got into foul trouble, and all of a sudden Blake was being guarded by Mo Harkless, Evan Turner for a few possessions. And he just looked so excited to embrace going right at that mismatch play after play. That's kind of how you know Blake's feeling good. That's how you know he feels fully healthy, when he wants to just take a guy to the hole and physically dominate him.
There was a little moment during the game. Blake Griffin had a little tip, like a tip put back dunk, like a missed shot, and he one hand jammed it, and he screamed when he did it. And as he was running up the court, you could see him trying to contain this, like, from breaking out in this big grin. Like, it's just a moment that struck me because it was early in the game, and it was like, man, how good does it probably feel for this guy to be healthy, to be back playing in this environment, and being able to do all the things that he did before the injury. It was just a nice little moment for Blake that I loved.
It is the ultimate cliche, but we do sometimes forget that these aren't just freak athletes. They are people with human psychologies, and you don't appreciate what you have sometimes until it's gone, or until you're forced for 40 or 50 games to watch other people doing the thing you love, you know?
Yeah.
Lee Jenkins was on, I think, Zach Lowe's podcast today, talking about how the feeling, you know, among the Sixers front office was that they had to get Embiid at a certain point away from the team, because watching the team night in, night out, doing the thing that he loves to do that he couldn't do was actually driving him crazy.
Yeah.
And I think there's something through that.
Man, there was just such a sense of urgency tonight. I you mentioned it earlier when you were talking, but they just played with such a sense of urgency throughout the whole game, and they had their slip-ups in the start of the second half. The starters, you know, struggled a little bit coming out of the gates, but just how physical they were underneath, and all the jawing with Plumlee and Jordan, like, it's clear that they don't like each other, and Blake started hopping in on it too. These guys battled in preseason too. DeAndre and Plumlee almost got into it a couple times. But man, this game was feisty. It looked like, and I saw lots of people talking about this on Twitter, it looked like a playoff game, right? It looked like the regular season never started, and this was just, you know, game seven of this playoff series, basically.
It was feisty. It was physical. I definitely felt that part of that from the Clippers was, from what I read, there was a little bit of jawing in the press in the weeks after the playoffs where the Clippers kind of mentioned their injuries, and the Blazers had a couple guys talking in the press about how, you know, that's whining, you shouldn't talk about injuries. This team was the Clippers saying, well, this is our real team. You know, like, you want to talk about how playoff victory, fine, but you didn't beat the real Clippers last year in the playoffs.
Right.
This is our team.
It's a message. It was a message sent game. It feels weird to say it, and I don't want to overblow one game out of an 82-game season, but it really felt like, hey, Portland, we're healthy. This is what you're going to have to deal with if we match up again.
And look, part of that, to give credit where credit is due, is that Portland's a really good team.
Yeah.
They're a team that, again, somehow in the offseason, you forget how good they are, or I did, and you watch them play, and it's like, this is a good team. They have kind of depth in above-average players. Not great players, but everyone they're bringing into the game does stuff. You know, and they're all kind of long and switchy, and Plumlee's kind of a goon with some skills. They got a lot going on.
They do, and credit to them for hanging in. There were a lot of moments where it looked like they were going to completely break, and finally the Clippers pushed them over at the edge. But, man, this was just an incredible game all the way around. We'd be remiss not to mention the bench in this one. Clippers win 114-106 in the season opener. Their bench was on fire. Came out with a huge run, their first time all on the court together. Mo Spates, 15 points in 16 minutes. just like we thought. Jamal had some nice little moments, some good dishes, and defensively ended up with 4 steals. But I don't want to harp too much on the stats, but man, can you talk about the bench a little bit and just the lift that they gave the Clippers?
So I think it really keeps with the theme of this episode, which is how fun this game was to watch and why. Jamal, even when he's did his best the last couple years, has become a very frustrating watch for a lot of Clipper fans. And I think part of that is, given the people who are on the bench with him in the last couple years, the bench unit took on his personality. It was Jamal and the gang.
Right.
You know, it would be some athletic guys, some rebounding guys, maybe some defensively minded guys. But inevitably, they were looking to Jamal to create kind of instant offense. And so, of course, you ended up with a lot of these Jamal possessions with setback threes and crazy floaters and runners, and he makes some of them because Jamal Crawford. But it can be frustrating, and it can be a slog, and when it doesn't go well, it can go super cold. What I love about this bench is, with guys like Felton and Mo Spates and Brandon Bass, who I know didn't really see the floor tonight, but once he starts getting minutes, he now has surrounded Jamal with a bunch of veterans who not only can kind of do stuff, but they're not particularly shy offensively either. You know, Mo Spates is going to shoot. And Raymond Felton, if he sees a lane, is going to drive. And I really like the way that it diversified just the experience of watching the bench, of not kind of knowing where the shots are going to come from, and as making Jamal, you know, an alternate rather than the go-to every single time down the floor with that unit.
Right. And it saves Jamal a little bit, too, right? He doesn't feel the pressure maybe so much as he did in prior years of having to be the guy that creates everything all by himself.
For sure. And I think you noticed fewer times that there were three guys collapsing into the lane when Jamal drove, because you do have to stay home and respect whether it's West in the corner or Maurice Spates at the top of the key. These are guys who are going to take their shots, and it gives them a little bit of spacing in that unit, and God, just so much more explosiveness than they've had basically since the bench mob days of Eric Bledsoe.
It's fun. It's a fun Clippers team again. I think you can tell. Me and Jordan are both, I would say both of us are pretty like level-headed kind of guys in a way when we're talking about basketball, and we try and look at it from almost like an analytical type of view. We were giddy as soon as we got on the phone together.
It feels fun to feel fun again, if
yeah.
you know what I mean.
Like, yeah.
Remember, this team has conceived in fun. This team is Lob City. And then somehow for a couple years, it really wasn't that fun. And we could talk about another time why. But it feels like it's fun again. And that kind of the lost season is a part of the reason why. It did make me appreciate it, and maybe the players too. Like, this is a great talented core surrounded by interesting kind of secondary pieces. Let's see how good we can be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The Clippers can't play this hard 82 games, but when they do turn it up for a big opponent like this, man, they're going to be fun to watch. Okay, we're going to get some questions from Twitter followers here. Let's see. Ron says, which team in the league hates the Clippers the most? Which team in the league hates the Clippers the most? Who do you think?
I still think it's the Warriors. But I really think that's beyond no love loss. It's that open disrespect. There have just been so many quotes to the press from the Warriors where I feel like they almost, and especially Draymond Green, kind of go out of their way to mention just how little they fear the Clippers. And I have to think that really bothers Blake and Chris Paul and DJ. And, you know, because in fact, I think the Clippers think of that almost just the opposite. Right? The other side of that coin is, we beat Golden State 3 years ago. That was the full Warriors team. Granted, it was the nascent version, but that was the Draymond Green playing 30 minutes, Steph going Steph.
Yep.
And then what happened after that? Well, the next season they went 0-4 against the Warriors, but every single game they were winning sometime in the last 3 minutes of the game. I think for the Clippers, they're right on that level. And the fact that the Warriors don't respect them at all, I kind of think that's fixing their craw.
You can tell, yeah, it kind of comes out in games when they play against each other. I'm going to go in a little bit of a different direction here, though. Maybe this is weird. I think Sacramento hates the Clippers the most.
Oh, I like it. You're thinking a combination of Boogie, who's always hated Blake, and just like the bitter Matt Barnes effect?
Yes, there's bitter Matt Barnes there, which helps. I just feel like for the team to hate you the most, you can't have a lot of success against them. Right? Like the team that you just keep beating, they hate you because you're beating them and also because you're kind of annoying on the court. And it seems like every time the Clippers and the Kings play, there's some little spat between DeMarcus and the big guys. And yeah, I just think the Kings can't stand the Clippers. And it's part of it is like a jealousy thing, and part of it is just we're just sick of losing to you guys every year, four times a season, basically.
I like that. I think that's a good wild card. But I mostly agree with what Chris said at the end of this game. No one likes them.
Yeah, nobody likes
them. It's unlikable. You know, Chris is a heel. He's a basketball heel. And frankly, DeAndre probably has, I think, passed Blake for kind of the second rung on that ranking in terms of working the ref, being outraged after fouls. Like, yeah, it's not like a mystery why people don't like this team.
No, if you're not a Clippers fan, you're irate watching them at all the little tricks that they do to draw fouls, and I can't even imagine. All right, next question. Brandon Tomioi, where do you set the over-under on shots per 36 for Mo Buckets this season? Per 36? Man, what are we looking at here? At least 20, right?
Look, when he touches the ball, he shoots.
Yeah.
You're really asking how many times in the 15, 20 minutes he's on the court every night does he touch the ball? Did he get up 8 shots tonight in 14, 16 minutes?
Yeah, so multiply that by 2. That's at least, we're looking at least 16 shots. I'm going to put the over-under at 19. And that feels low.
Yeah, right, because he could get hot. And then he's demanding the ball.
Right, and then it's game over from there. I'm putting it at 19. I'm interested to hear if you guys think over or under. Are you taking over or under there?
I'm taking the over on my self-set over under.
I love it. Okay. Next question. Should we be concerned about the second unit and rebounding? Mo doesn't want to step in the paint. That's from Imran Q. What do you think?
No, they were playing a particularly small version of the second unit tonight because it had to do with matchups. And Portland is actually pretty small in their second unit. Ed Davis is not a huge guy. Aminu Harkless, Evan Turner, etc. Von Light. You're going to see more Brandon Bass out there against a team that has more giants, and I think that will help stabilize the rebounding.
Mm. Yep. Okay. That makes sense. Let's see. From Kyle Sellers, why do we slow down when we have a lead? When there's less than 3 minutes to go, it happens so often. I think Clippers fans were freaking out a little bit when the Blazers mounted a tiny comeback towards the end there. Is that a reoccurring theme that Clippers fans should be worried about, you think?
I think it's more like very understandable selective memory. I think every Clipper fan can name a handful of critical games where, with a 4 or 5 point lead, Chris Paul has seemingly gone into a prevent mode, and then the game has somehow gotten away from them. I think, by and large, it's what every NBA team does.
Yeah. Yeah?
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of agree with that. I do think it's sort of a selective memory thing. I agree with you. Next question. Why do you think the Clippers starters were so bad? I think Blake wasn't aggressive enough looking to pass too much. That's from Eduardo Sanchez. I didn't think the Clippers stars were necessarily bad, did you? I thought they, especially in the first half, they played really well together.
No, speaking of Kevin Arnovitz, my answer to that would be I challenged the premise.
Hey, we finally got to challenge the premise on the Locked On Clippers podcast. It's a first.
It was coming. No, I don't really know what that questioner is seeing. I mean, were they perfect? No, DeAndre didn't have his best game, but both Blake and Chris looked great. JJ hit a huge bucket when he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Luke Mbamute is never going to put up a bunch of stats, but I like the way the first unit looks with him out there.
Yeah, I think if JJ is making shots in the first half, we probably look at their performance as a whole, the starters, a little bit differently, because he had a few open shots that normally he just knocks down that he didn't connect on. So maybe that's what it was. Okay, next question from Clippers. He asks, I said the Clippers are, it's like rooting for the NWO now. Did you watch wrestling back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like...
The NWO was already a little bit after, like, I was watching a ton.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, so he asks, is that why CP is growing that beard? Like a Hulk Hogan beard he's got going on. Yes. Yeah. Right? Yes. That's just a simple one. He also asks, why do all the players look the same? I get JJ and Austin confused, Felton and CP3, DJ and Blake. Can't really see the DJ and Blake one, but Felton and CP3 has become an epidemic in my household. They look exactly the same if you're sitting too far from the TV.
For sure, and look, Austin shaved the goatee, right? So that was a differentiator. And without it, yeah, I guess he looks a little bit more like JJ Redick. They're both smooth-faced men.
I'm glad that I have you talking about smooth-faced men. All right, that's it for Twitter questions. any final thoughts on this one, Jordan? Anything you want to sum up with? I'll start. Like you said, it was just fun to watch the Clippers tonight. The intensity that they played with, the defensive effort, all the scrappy and chippiness, it really did feel like a playoff game, as crazy as that sounds. The bench gave them some good minutes. I mean, if you're looking for a Clipper opener, like if I had to draw up a Clipper opener before this game, it would look something like this. Blake Griffin scoring, being aggressive, not looking like he's hampered by anything, went full speed, was in absolute perfect basketball shape. This game went almost perfectly in my mind for playing Portland in the road. That's a tough place to play. So, man, no complaints on this end. What about you?
To me, as a fan, and if I can totally project myself into the minds of millionaire superstars that I'll never meet,
sure,
for Chris and Blake as well, this was a game that was just about really appreciating brilliance that maybe you'd come to take for granted. There were a bunch of possessions where Blake and CP were just playing this two-man game, where Blake was setting picks and screening and rescreening, and Chris would kind of search and look for space and thread a pass to Blake, and Blake would bring it back to Chris, and he would thread a pass to Blake, and they would just keep kind of probing and working until something opened up. Either it was Chris getting to the elbow or stepping back for a three or Blake finding space. It was just beautiful to watch. These are two of the best 15 players in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned to play together over now 5 years together. It wasn't always like this. But at this point, these guys really play well off each other. They really understand how to use each other for spacing. And it was just great to watch that again.
Yep, agreed completely. That's it for today's show. Thanks for Jordan Heimer for coming on. I'm your host, DJ Foster. Thanks for listening to Locked On Clippers podcast. We will be back tomorrow with our last show on Friday. We'll preview the rest of the games coming up for the weekend, catch you up on all the latest Clippers news. Thanks again, once again, for Jordan Heimer. I'm DJ Foster. Enjoy your evening.